Hi, I'm Angela Smith. Thanks for listening to Reading the Bible Together. Faith Radio podcasts are only possible because of your support. Thanks for giving and for sharing with a friend. Welcome to Reading the Bible Together. I'm your host, Angela Smith.
You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet.
Today we're talking about the Ten Commandments. And as I said last week, our hope is that this conversation will whet your appetite for reading the Bible for yourself. Because nothing brings transformation to your life more than reading the Bible. And then inviting the Holy Spirit into that process just brings it to another level. And I want to remind you and encourage you to be like the Bereans that they talk about in Acts 17:11. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if what Paul and Silas were teaching was true. Again, I hope this conversation encourages you to go study the Ten Commandments, study what Jesus had to say about them, and see what it is for yourself. I'm so excited because this conversation I'm having today is with one of the pastors at Mill City Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He's a worship pastor. He does some preaching. And I have watched from afar the way that not only he, but all the pastoral staff and those at Mill City minister, the way that they love their neighbor, the way that they come together to worship God, to become more like Christ. So I am so, so grateful to welcome Pastor Ashish Bhaskaran. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Angela. It's a joy to be here.
Well, I'm so glad that you're able to make time for this. It's been a really fun series, you know, just looking at some of the fundamentals of the faith. And, you know, when I thought about the Ten Commandments, you know, people want them up and, you know, hung up in their house and hung, you know, put in public places, and people really focus on the Ten Commandments. And I just kept thinking that Jesus had so much to say about them too. Do you know
yes.
what I mean? And he,
yes.
as per usual, like took it to another level.
Yes.
So what were kind of your thoughts and ideas as you were getting ready for this conversation and thinking about the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, that's a good question. The Ten Commandments, like you were saying, they're so foundational. I feel like mm-hmm. when I was a kid, they were the first things that I learned in Sunday school, even learning a song about them. And, you know, you had all the actions and that was really fun. So you grow up like hearing the Ten Commandments. And so it was fun to take some of that into like diving into Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And what did Jesus actually say about these commandments? And what I found out was, I think in classic Jesus form, he doesn't provide a very easy answer for any
no.
of these commandments.
So
it's not like there's the section, okay, now we're going to go through all 10 commandments and I'm going to go line by line and walk through them. But as I was looking at it, it's just paying attention to the life of Jesus. And some of these commandments he talks about and some he just embodies. And that is pretty cool. It invites us, like you were saying, to dive into not just a part of scripture, but all of scripture together.
Yeah. And the first thing I think of is in Matthew 22, where they're asking, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Mm-hmm. And Jesus really sums it all up. And maybe this is not the place to start, because this is summing up all of the Ten Commandments. Wraps up our conversation.
Yeah.
But Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and the prophets." Well, not only Ten Commandments, all the laws, all the prophets hang on these two commandments. What are some of your thoughts about that?
Yeah, as we were preparing for this conversation, you mentioned the Shema and this really foundational statement in Deuteronomy 6 that the people of Israel would have quoted every single day, that they probably still quote every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the whole love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength. And I remember going through Hebrew in seminary. I got to go and pursue a Master's of Divinity at Denver Seminary. And I had the opportunity to study with a Hebrew professor that talked about how the word for to love is not like, okay, well, now you love God and now you don't. It's the like state of being in love with who God is. So she translated it as be in love with the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And I remember as I was learning that verse in Hebrew at that time, I was dating my now wife, Anna. And just the picture of what would it look like to cultivate a love for Anna? It's in the things that I do and the things that I say, the things that I think. I mean, it's all moving towards, okay, how is this growing me more in love with who she is? And taking that picture to then the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments being like all these, I mean, they're really important things. But at the end of the day, the rules aren't the end in and of themselves. The rules are to help cultivate this love for God. And in cultivating this love for God, it should overflow in our love for our neighbor. And so I love how Jesus kind of says, hey, like all of this is summed up in these two commandments. Because yes, it is important to honor our father and mother. It is important to not misuse the name of the Lord. It is important to keep the Sabbath. But it's not just about checking a box. It's about living this life that is just completely in love with who God is. That in the moments when I feel it, it's like, yes, I can live into this, and that's awesome. And even in the moments when I don't feel it, these commands really help like cultivate this posture of God, even if I'm in a place where I'm uncertain or whether I'm wrestling with doubts or whether I just kind of feel like I'm stuck in the mud. These commands point me closer to your heart and closer to your heart for my neighbor. And so I love that Jesus just wraps that all up in these Ten Commandments.
Yeah, and I like what you said about the loving, almost like an ING, like being in love. It's an ongoing process. And
Yes.
something I've been thinking about a lot lately and processing with other people is how the Ten Commandments, you could crank out the behavior of it without really having a heart change. But that ongoing loving, and also when you do have a heart change, your behaviors will change. And so it feels like a complicated, like I've been having, it's something I've still been processing and haven't really been able to put words to, but like there's a both and it feels like it's not just the behavior, it's heart change, but it won't only just be heart change.
Yes, it'll also influence the behaviors too. I think of the conversation in Matthew, I think it's Matthew chapter 19, where Jesus is talking to the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler comes and says, okay, Lord, like I want to follow you. And Jesus says, well, like, have you kept all these commands? And he's like, yeah, I've honored my father and I've, not given false testimony and I've not done this other stuff. But then Jesus says, like it says in Mark, like Jesus loves this man. And in love, Jesus then says, well, one thing you lack, like go and sell all your possessions. And it really points to Jesus saying, hey, I love you so much. And this is not just about checking all these boxes, which you have done really well. This is about a heart change as well. But I also love in Matthew, or it says in Mark, the rich young ruler obviously says, well, I can't do that. And so then he walks away. And Jesus says, well, how impossible it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples ask, well, like, if they can't enter the kingdom of heaven, well, who can enter the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus just says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I love how, I think sometimes as humans, it's easier for us to conceptualize the works. Like, I want to do all these things and check all these boxes. And it's harder to do the heart change, but I think it's really comforting to know that, the heart change is impossible with us, but with God, all things are possible. And it's God's spirit that really empowers us and helps us have that heart change and that posture. So that it can lead us in our actions, and the Spirit also empowers us in our actions to help us, foster just a posture of growth in our own lives.
Yeah, it's like what I was talking about at the very beginning, you know, wanting to inspire people to get into the word. And then when you invite the Holy Spirit into that process, I mean, that's when life change comes. So let's keep going on. Let's keep going down these. The next one that I really kind of got found a lot that Jesus had to say was the Sabbath. Remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy. And I feel like I have some compassion for the religious leaders and the Pharisees who had the responsibility and the charge to like keep the nation on track. And you know, when you look through the Old Testament, you can see how the nation of Israel was sometimes with God, sometimes not with God. And so to carry that weight, to carry that responsibility would have been a really heavy responsibility. And I think for those of us today who are in the church who have been walking with Jesus, it's a good reminder for us to not make it about those things, but you know, like the Sabbath, you know, keep the rules of the Sabbath. But we see Jesus time and again loving people well on the Sabbath, which was breaking some of these Sabbath rules. What are some of your thoughts about that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was drawn to Mark 2 when you sent all these commandments and how Jesus says the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And how, you know, each of the things that Jesus does on the Sabbath, they lead to restoration and healing what's broken and making the wrong things right. I was actually thinking about that. This might be a little bit of a tangent, but I had a chance to go through kind of my NIV study Bible, and I was reading some of the notes there, and they were talking about how the Sabbath actually helped the people kind of rehearse the whole story of God. And so rehearse the story of creation, and just like, wow, like in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he did this for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. But then how the people were also in remembering the Sabbath, rehearsing God's own work of redemption in their lives, setting them free from Egypt and bringing them into the promised land. But then also the Sabbath helped them look ahead to the final rest when the Messiah would come and would restore all things and they would be able to be in the presence of God. And on this side of the cross and the resurrection, I think when we look back, we look at the Sabbath and the Sabbath is that, you know, rehearsing the story of God. It is remembering creation. It's remembering our own fall. It's remembering our own finiteness, that we are human beings that need rest. And God, in his mercy and his care, like put in a rhythm where we could rest and where we could just kind of take a break. But it also helps us rehearse Christ's redemption and Jesus's redemption. And it helps us look forward to the final restoration. I believe it talks about that in Hebrews, that we are invited into this rest and we get to look forward in Revelation where there will be this ultimate rest. And so when I think of Jesus and when I think of just this, what were his thoughts on the Sabbath? And I think of the religious leaders and, you know, oh man, they're trying to keep the Sabbath. And I have a lot of compassion, like you were saying, for them, because I think sometimes we, you know, pin the religious leaders as the bad guys and Jesus is the good guy. But these were like the experts in the law, and keeping the Sabbath was really important. And at that time, they were under Roman oppression. And there was maybe a belief that if we keep all these laws, God will come back and restore all things. And it's because we're not keeping these laws that that's why God is not doing this. And so I do have a lot of compassion for them doing it. And also, I think when Jesus does the things that he does on the Sabbath, he's pointing to that deeper meaning of the Sabbath, that the Sabbath is rehearsing this whole story of God. The Sabbath is pointing to the ways that all people were made in the image of God right at the beginning of creation. And the Sabbath is also pointing to the future restoration of all things. And Jesus gets to give people a glimpse of that in the moment. And so I understand where the religious leaders are coming from and how much of a shift it was for them. And also I just love the ways that Jesus says, hey, like, this is why the Sabbath was created. And also, like, I have come to fulfill this and bring it to a deeper and another level. And so I don't know if that answers your question, but those are kind of some of my thoughts about the Sabbath.
Yeah, what I appreciate, I mean, well, I guess why I think I have compassion on the religious leaders is because it feels to me like it was a lot of pride that was keeping them from being able to change anything. And I just find that really relatable because that is something I'm constantly dealing with.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about when Jesus healed on the Sabbath, and he, you know, like he compares it to in Luke 13:10, which hands down favorite, it's the bent over woman that Jesus heals. Like she's not coming to him. It doesn't say that she's pursuing him like some of the other people we saw healed, or her friends aren't bringing her to Jesus. He just sees her in the temple and heals her. Hands down, one of my favorites. But what he says to when the religious leaders get upset with him for healing, he says, "You hypocrites, does each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox and donkey and lead it to water to water it?" I mean, this is a daughter of Abraham whom Satan has bound for 18 years. Shouldn't she be released on the Sabbath? Yep. So, you know, going back again to loving God and loving your neighbor, like that is a way to love your neighbor, is if you can do something to bring relief to them, like a donkey or an ox having water, and to be able to love them in that way.
Yes. Yes. When I remember talking about loving your neighbor, I remember talking to one of our community members, and she was mentioning how, you know, the Sabbath was also, I think sometimes we think of the Sabbath as, okay, I'm just going to kind of sit by myself all day. Mm-hmm. That's my Sabbath. But she talked about, you know, like the Sabbath was meant to be done in community.
Yeah.
The Sabbath was meant to help us love our neighbor and help us love each other. And that was such just a helpful reframe. I remember we did a series on the Sabbath. I think it was last year. And that was really important and a game changer for me in my own understanding of the Sabbath.
Yeah. Something I've been growing into is that rest doesn't necessarily look the same to everybody.
Yes.
For example, I'm an extrovert. My husband's an introvert. So rest to us looks very different.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I am an extrovert. And so I remember, you know, just right out of college, I tried to experiment with Sabbath, and I left every Sabbath more drained than when I started it. And I remember talking with a good mentor and dear friend, and he just said, what are you doing during your Sabbath? Like God created you specifically in some ways to delight in who he is. And so are you actually stepping towards those ways? Are like you were created to just interact with people. You're an extrovert. So go do that, you know, or go, you know, work with your hands, do something, build a Lego set. That is Sabbath, you know? And I just remember, it just changed the way that I rested.
Yeah, that's so good. I hope those of you who are listening are hearing a little bit of freedom to be able to, that your Sabbath doesn't have to look like everybody else's necessarily, but find a way that brings rest and replenishment to you. And I love what you said too about how it points to God creating and the new creation to come too, to spend. Yeah. I'm going to have to think about that one for a while. I hadn't heard that in reference to the Sabbath before. That was really good. It was really good.
Well, I take no credit. That came from someone else.
Okay. So then, when I was thinking about this study or thinking about the Ten Commandments and that Jesus had very specific things to say, it was the Sabbath, but then it was also, you shall not murder or you shall not commit adultery.
Yeah.
And from Matthew 5 for both of these. And I mean, I think this is another place, another time that we see Jesus really getting to the literal like heart of the matter.
Yes.
You know, when he's teaching about anger, you've heard it. Our ancestors were told, do not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, even if you are angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call them an idiot, if you're in danger of being brought to the court, and if you curse someone, you're in danger of the fires of hell. Like, I mean, you just like, what? I mean, I feel like this just points more to our need for grace.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. He takes the commandments to a new level. He like points the heart behind them. It's not a, hey, I didn't physically murder someone. I did not commit adultery. Like that's fine.
Like I'm good.
He's like, no. Like even if you like hate someone, you know, like that's murder. And I think I'm like, oh my gosh, like that means that no one is exempt from this.
Mm-hmm.
But also like you were pointing to, like, you know, no one is exempt from needing grace, and God gives grace freely. And that is just a really freeing thing when it looks like, how in the world can we keep all these 10 commandments? We can't do that on our own strength. It is just by the grace of God.
Yeah, it can feel overwhelming.
Absolutely.
Yep. And then you shall not commit adultery. And then again, later in Matthew 5, he says, even if you have lust, then you've
Yes.
committed adultery, like just taking it
Yep.
to another level.
Yep.
And then you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, you shall not covet or be jealous. Yeah, I appreciate what you said about that this can make us feel like how can we ever fulfill this, and we can't. Like it points to the grace of God, needing God's grace.
Yep.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to make sure that we talk about in reference to the Ten Commandments?
Oh, that is a good question. As I was looking at the Ten Commandments, I think an encouragement to read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. Jesus just says so many amazing things. And like I said, some of the commandments, like so the do not murder, do not commit adultery, that's in the Sermon on the Mount. Like Jesus talks about that. But even just look at the life of Jesus and the way that he embodies some of these commandments, the way that he embodies the Sabbath, the way that he embodies worship, even something like you shall not covet. I think of when the disciples are having this conversation on greatness and they look at someone else doing things in Jesus's name and they're like, well, Jesus, like, let's stop them. And Jesus is like, no, if they're not against us, they're for us. And so don't keep competing against different people. And just the ways that Jesus continues to embody humility and continues to embody this posture of service and this heart that does cultivate this love for God and love for neighbor. I just encourage people. I love the book of Matthew. I think that is a really great starting point to study what does Jesus not only say about the Ten Commandments, but also how does Jesus embody them?
That's so good. I'll make sure that's in the notes, and all the notes, you can find them in the show notes for this episode as well. Ashish, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. This was such a great conversation.
Angela, this was a joy. Thank you so much for having me on again.
Goodness, Pastor Ashish has given me so much to think about and so many more things to study. I mean, I had never thought about Sabbath pointing to God's creation and pointing to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, that I'm going to be thinking about that for a while. And then what he was talking about, what Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, has to say about rest. And it's actually in Hebrews chapter 4. And it's talking about being obedience and the importance of being obedient. In verse 9, it says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter this rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." And then it goes on to say in 12, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eye, before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Amen. And I mean, that just calls to the grace that we were talking about too, the grace of, we fall short. We might feel like we might be able to kind of crank out the behavior of the Ten Commandments, but there's this heart issue and this issue of obedience. And, the call to be obedient to what God is calling us to in the Sabbath rest. And again, I want to encourage you to figure out what rest looks like for you, and make an effort to do that in community. I also appreciated Pastor Ashish's encouragement to read the Sermon on the Mount. You can find it in Matthew 5 through 7, and so many good things. I mean, I'm in a church group and we were just studying Matthew 7:1, where it talks about do not judge others, or by the measure you judge, you will be judged. And I mean, the whole thing has so many good things to say about what it looks like to be living in community with each other. And that's what the Ten Commandments is really getting at: loving God with all your heart, being in relationship with God, and loving your neighbor as yourself, being in relationship with those around you. I hope you are as encouraged and inspired to jump into God's Word as I am. I'm so grateful that you joined us today, and we will see you next week. Thank you for listening to this conversation from Reading the Bible Together. These conversations are available because of your support. Become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes, and share it with friends so together we can inspire more people to read the Bible together.